me to do that. But long ago, on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And these are instructions on how to conduct our lives. And if we follow and obey these commandments, God promises that he will bless us for keeping those. And that's our wonderful, merciful Father that I was just talking about there. I guess it does tie into the sermon a little bit, what I mentioned there. And the title of today's sermon is God's Most Ignored Commandment. That's the title for the sermon today, God's Most Ignored Commandment. In Deuteronomy 5:33, it says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, you know, that you may live, and that it may be well with you." You know, if we walk and obey God's commandments, that we may live well and safe in this life, and we will receive God's blessings. It'll be well with each of us. God commands, you know, they are the basic guidelines for living. You know, they show us how to have the proper relationship with our Creator and with fellow man, how we should be living and treating each other on the face of this earth, and how we should be respecting and loving and being in awe of our wonderful Father that gives us everything. If everyone would keep God's commandments, we would all have peace. We would have no problems. It would be utopia, so to speak. We would all have peace, but we know that is not happening. Satan's influence is running rampant right now. I honestly believe we're in the last days. You know, we live in this crazy world, you know, that is even more than the dog-eat-dog that we have been seeing, you know, all down through the years. And most of us, you know, those of us who know God's commandments, we get caught up in our workday habits. You know, we get too busy to keep our minds on God as we should and to be conducting our lives as such. And much less, we tend to not live by them on account of that. You know, this is a crazy world we live in. And Satan is doing his part to try to let everybody know, well, hey, you got a whole lifetime ahead of you. You got plenty of time to be thinking about God. You know, just go ahead and enjoy this fun life that you're living. And that's the lie that Satan is promoting and preaching to everybody in his little small voice that he is broadcasting through his electronics, so to speak, to everybody's head. You know, you have all the time in the world is the way that he puts it. And he makes you believe it by saying, "Oh yeah, you know, have the fun while you deserve it. You owe it to yourself." And you know, and most of those who know about God's commandments, you know, when you ask him, will say, "Yes, you know, I agree with those commandments, that you know we should live by them," and that they say, "Well, you know, I do live by most of them," and they put the little preface there, "Most of, you know, it's hard for me to think of all 10." But I live by most of them is what most people would give you as an answer if you were the man on the street asking the question. But there is one commandment that they will try to ignore, and they will try to shape, and they will try to mold, and they will try to justify not to keep it. Because it really doesn't fit into this fast-paced life that we're living in, and all of the concoctions that Satan has us doing. You know, most people, you can walk down the street or drive down the street, and you can see people, their head is looking down, and they're looking at their smartphone,
yeah,
their dumb phone. And they'll be walking along, and when we were in Cincinnati, there were reports of people getting run over in crosswalks because they would just walk out in the street looking at their cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, and Satan has got people's minds diverted to, you know, anything that can hurt them, actually. And the commandment that is most ignored is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And again, the title of today's sermon is God's Most Ignored Commandment. And it is the most ignored. Why? You know, we are, as humans, we are selfish people by human nature. And if somebody tries to take our time, you know, our precious time that we are in control of or think we're in control of, that, you know, that kind of ruffles our feathers. You know, if somebody says, well, hey, you know, we want you to keep this day from sundown to sundown for 24 hours. Hey, that's my time that you're imposing on here. Even to God, that's the way they feel. So therefore, it's one of the most ignored commandments that God has. Many people think that, you know, the Sabbath was easier to keep in the so-called old days. You know, the so-called old days when life was lived at a slower pace. But as what we tend to forget, it's exactly the same time. We were doing things back in the so-called old days, and the things that are going on today, you know, and is what it is. You know, we have to make a choice to keep the Sabbath. We are busy now. We were busy then. It's still the same amount of time. It's from sundown to sundown that we are to keep the Sabbath. You know, and many think it's just not practical in this busy world to set aside 24 hours period from sundown to sundown. And you know, some will even say, well, you know, hey, I have bills to pay. I have kids to feed. I have got this. I've got that. They are justifying why they can't keep the Sabbath, and they say, "Well, you know, my job will not allow it. My boss will fire me on the spot. You know, if I say that, you know, that I'm not going to work on Saturday." Well, it shows God right there. You know, God is looking on to all of us, and it shows God right there where we are putting first things first in our minds and in our hearts. Hey, Kevin.
Hello.
And I just got started here on the first page, and the title of today's sermon is God's Most Ignored Commandment, talking about the Sabbath here. And, you know, are we thinking like the Sunday goers that keep the Sabbath, that spending an hour or two at church services kind of fulfills the intent of the Sabbath commandment? Some people in our church feel that way. I won't name any names, of course. None are in this room. But there are several people from different churches that feel that way, that they can come and spend 2 hours at church services, and then they can go off and do whatever they want to do because they have fulfilled their obligation in their hearts and their minds there, or they feel they have. Well, why did God command a day of rest in the first place? We want to ask ourselves that question. Did he have a purpose for it? And if so, what is that purpose? Is the Sabbath really relevant in today's world? You know, this is 2014 here we're talking about. Is it really relevant in this busy life that we're living? And why should there be such confusion about one of God's 10 basic guiding principles and laws? Why should there be one that stands out, that is most ignored, that people try to dodge, try to justify not keeping? You know, God gave us humans, you know, when most people, including the people of different religions and leaders of other churches, they will just flat tell you they have no problem with the other nine. Yeah, those are good principles. We should all be living that way. We'd all live in peace. And there's a little caveat, like I mentioned a little bit earlier there. Satan has other ideas about that, and they are distracting people from keeping God's laws and his truth. But these leaders and ministers in other churches, they will tell you, we have no problem with the other nine. It's that Saturday, that Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, we have a problem with. And, you know, things have changed, you know, and a lot of them say, well, you know, God nailed that to the tree, and they are finding ways to justify not keeping the Sabbath. In Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, you don't have to turn there, it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed..." You know, he made it holy time for us. He blessed it. He blessed the seventh day, and sanctified, set it apart. You know, I'm setting this off as part of the whole week here for special holy time. He sanctified it because in it he rested from all of his work which he had created. Now, we have to, you know, ask ourselves some more questions here. Was God tired? Was he tired from all the work that he did when he created, you know, the heavens and the planets and all that out there? We have to ask ourselves that question. And the answer is a great big no. He did not get tired, because he is an all-powerful spirit being that never gets tired. You know, when he creates things, he created them by speaking the word, just from his word, by fiat. Just speaking the word, and it was created. It was done. He is that powerful. He is all-powerful. Did he have a reason and a purpose for resting? Yeah, he did have a reason and a purpose for resting. He was showing me and you and all of mankind, who are God's children, every human, you know, is a potential child of God, that we need and must be rejuvenated, refreshed from our power source. And who is our power source? Our Father, our God in heaven, our Creator, who made us, knew us before we were born. You know, it's easy for us to get distracted, and God knew that. We are temporary beings made from the dust of the ground. We have minds that kind of go like a pinball machine every now and then, with all the distractions and stimuli that we see that's going on all around us. These things happen. And so our Father God knew, for our best interest, he had to set aside a time to be holy, for us to be rejuvenated and be fed spiritual food by him, to keep us on the right track for our own good. God did not get tired of what he did. God made us to be free-willed thinkers. Free-willed thinkers, making choices every waking moment. And being human, it's easy for us, again, to get off track and, you know, and start living by whatever standard that we choose. So, yeah, I'm a man of my own thinking here. I can do what I want to do, and here's the way I'm going to live, and make up your own rules. Well, God gave us his laws, his commandments. Why? To protect us and to bless us if we choose to obey them and do them. That is our insurance policy, to protect us from all the evils that could come upon us, and from ourselves. Our own human nature is against us. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think, well, yeah, I'm smart. I can do this. I can do that. I can do my own thinking. I'll do my own choosing. I'll make my own standard. And they have a whole lot to learn, as we will see. We are blessed when we are in obedience to God's laws, and we are cursed when we break them. And these laws that we break, even the smallest one, even if it's a little white lie or whatever it is, if not repented of, will lead to death. That is the penalty if we don't repent of them. And again, talking about the other denominations out in the world, you know, most Christian denominations, you know, that keep, you know, Sunday for their Sabbath, you know, the change from the Sabbath to Sunday was actually made after the New Testament was written. You know, it didn't happen before. It's not found anywhere in the Bible that we should keep Sunday. We are to keep the Sabbath, and that is very vivid, and that's what Christ taught. That's what Christ kept when he was here. So how and when did that change happen? How was that made? First of all, Christianity was viewed as simply as a sect of Judaism. And, you know, which, you know, the Jews were, you know, God's special people that he has worked with and has been preparing and trying to change, and in most cases with a lot of difficulty. But observance of Sunday as a primary day of worship appears to have begun during the reign of Emperor Hadrian. Now, this was A.D. 117 through 135, and he harshly persecuted the Jews, throughout the Roman Empire. And why did he do that? God blessed the Jews, and even yet today, he has blessed them with a lot of knowledge on how to make wealth. And as you look at companies all around the world, God has blessed them with the knowledge on how to run businesses. And so therefore, the other people that were kind of left behind, they're like, well, you know, I couldn't think of that first. They become jealous. They become jealous. So therefore, the Jews have been persecuted all the way down through time because they were made special with special blessings from God on how to make wealth. And they do. And they do it yet today. Well, Hadrian prohibited the practices of Judaism, including the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath. He prohibited that. Also, there was the Roman Emperor Constantine. Now, although, this is much later, although he was a worshiper of the sun, he was also the first emperor to profess belief in Christianity. But there's a little caveat here as well, too. But the Christianity that Constantine endorsed was already different from that had been practiced by Jesus and the apostles. Constantine commanded the change from the Sabbath to Sunday because, again, of his hatred of the Jews. He had much hatred against the Jews. So he made a law. And this was in A.D. 321. He made a rule and a law and of course, this is much after the New Testament was written. He made a law that there would be Sunday worship. He wanted to be in power. He wanted to be one of those guys that said, you know, I will set up the standard of living, which, you don't have to be an emperor to do this. You know, just anybody else, you know, can do that in their mind, which is a fallacy. It is wrong to go against God's truth and his laws. But observance of the biblical Sabbath, those that were left that said, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His Sabbath is not changed. This is only a human person that has made this law that we are to keep Sunday and not the Sabbath. For those people, the Sabbath was driven underground. They had to hide. They had to sneak around in order to keep the Sabbath, you know, within the confines of the Roman Empire there. And most who professed, you know, Christianity or so-called Christianity in the Roman Empire, they went along with the law of Constantine and they kept Sunday. But the ones that really believed that God did not change, that his laws are forever, they had to go underground at that time. And although the Protestant Reformation brought some changes, observance of Sunday continued from the Roman Catholic Church. They spearheaded it. And yet today, of course, as we well know. And they make changes. They water down, even the things that they believe in, even yet today. I know we heard about the Pope, changing laws about homosexuality and many other things that he is changing. But anyway, the changes that were made are still being changed are basically done today by the Roman Catholic Church, which is also bled into the Protestant denominations as well too, because they all want to save their personal time from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. The fourth commandment is the most ignored commandment that God has. We know, again, that, you know, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, Christ did not come to do away with the law. He came to expand the law. So when people say, well, you know, he nailed all those laws to the tree. No, he didn't. He expanded on those laws. We have a lady in the Nashville church. And she goes back with us years ago in Worldwide in Nashville. And her name is Sylvia Davis. At the time we knew her in Worldwide, her name was Sylvia Christian, I believe. Christopher it was. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I was talking with her, and she had after the big split, she kind of drifted off, and her husband got divorced, and she got married again, and he died. So now she is a widow. But she said, you know, she's been back with us now, maybe 6 months, something like that. And she came to me and she was telling me, she says, you know, the Sabbath is a very important thing to me. She says she knew in her heart and her mind that she had better start keeping the Sabbath and holding on to the Sabbath. And she said if she holds on to anything, it's going to be holding on to that holy time that she knows that God created for all of us. And she is now embracing the Sabbath with all of her heart and her mind. She went to the feast with us this year up in Cincinnati. And she is holding on to the Sabbath. It has a very, very special meaning in her life and should have a special meaning in our lives as well. That God has set this as holy time. And you think, well, you know, what do I do? Just sit in the rocking chair and wait for the sun to go down? No. Take advantage of it. There are special, special blessings of God's spiritual food all during this entire period of time. Open your Bible, read through it. You'll be surprised how God's special food, spiritual food, will jump off the page at you. Very, very, very special time. It's holy time. God made it holy for us. If you will, let's turn to Exodus. Exodus 31. Exodus chapter 31. We'll start reading in verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. He said, surely. He didn't say, maybe. He didn't say, you know, if you're not too busy. He said, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Forever, that is. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who set you apart, who knew you before you were born, who called you to know God's truth, to know His Sabbaths and His statutes, the holy days, and His laws. He set us apart to know that for a special reason. He has things planned for us in the future that we don't even know about. Fantastic things. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy. Circle that in your Bible. It is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Now this is he's talking about the final death, you know, the one that you won't be resurrected from. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy again, holy to the Lord. And again, he says this again, so evidently it means something very, very important for us. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. God is very emphatic about us keeping the Sabbath. Verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep, not maybe, not if, not for some other reason, shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. What does that word mean? It means never-ending, never-ending covenant. Verse 17, it is a sign, again, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. He was refreshed because He looked upon His creation, and He said it was good. It was good for the people that He was going to create. me and you, us humans. It was good, good thing for us. Verse 18, and when he had made an end of speaking with him, you know, speaking of Moses there, when he stopped speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God, our all-powerful, our all-creating, our all-in-charge Father God in heaven. Let's note just verbally here, verse 16 and 17, that you know, on the Sabbath, you know, it's a identifying sign of God's people. Therefore, the children of Israel shall observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. You know, this is something that is going to last forever. And the neat part about it is, God is blatantly telling us it's a sign between us and Him. It shows Him who we are, that we belong to Him, and it shows us that we belong to Him. You know, keeping it, it shows that we have chosen. By keeping God's Sabbath, it shows that we have chosen to be obedient to God and that we do belong to Him. We have made that choice. God will not force Himself on anyone, and we have to choose Him and want Him to receive His blessings. And the Sabbath is a wonderful, wonderful blessing and holy time that we should take advantage of. How could God, you know, state that the Sabbath, you know, is to be kept forever if He had planned to abolish it later? He didn't plan to abolish it later, like a lot of the Sunday-going churches are teaching. Oh, yeah, this is 2014. You know, we live in a different time. We have to go to work on the Sabbath. Our bosses will fire us, and God understands that, and He'll say it's okay. You go ahead and work. No, He won't. God is a jealous God, and He wants us to obey Him. You know, and how could He waive that requirement for the early church? He couldn't. It was law. Same as the law of gravity. The same as the law of the seasons. As we drove up here, we saw the trees of all the different colors. We were up in Cincinnati, and it was hot and warm up there. But the trees were changing. You know why? Because God put into the DNA of even the trees. They know when to change, whether it's warm out or whatever. Yeah. God is in charge of everything. obviously the problem was not with God. It's with the people. We have to choose to want God. We have to choose to want to be obedient to Him. We have to choose to want His blessings. Or we can also choose to have the curses that will come upon us automatically. These are automatic laws. Be obedient to God and you are blessed automatically. Disobey God and you are automatically cursed. It's a law that God will not back down from. Also, very important note to make is, you know, the purpose that God gave for keeping the Sabbath was that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Who sanctifies you. God says keeping the Sabbath holy is a reminder to those He calls, and that He is the one who sanctified them, set them apart, set us apart for a special reason. For a special reason. And He establishes a special relationship with us. That very special relationship. He wants to protect us from Satan and his demons. He has His angels living around us. That even they will keep us from stubbing our toe. I mean, that's how attentive God's angels are. There is a spirit world. We live in the physical part, a different dimension. We can't see them. They can sure see us. And they are here to help us. God guides and directs us through them. We are God's people, and keeping the Sabbath establishes ownership of us. God is a jealous God again, and He owns us, and He wants us to make it. If He has to, He will allow us to get skinned knees if we're disobedient. And we can have some bloody knees, that is for sure, until we come to our senses and say, hey, He said we should keep the Sabbath, and we should keep it holy, and we should take advantage of it, and we should learn from it. We should be prepared by it. We should be fed by his spiritual food on the Sabbath day. You know, and it is a sign that is in our foreheads as we think, and it's a sign in our hands by what work we do. God is looking at us. He wants to know, is the message in our heads, and is it in our hands? Our hands, are we stopping working at sundown on Friday night until sundown on Saturday night? It is a sign in our foreheads and in our hands. This passage also tells us that the Sabbath is a two-way sign. To those keeping the Sabbath, again, it identifies the true God, the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, as the one that we worship. It shows him that we have chosen him to worship him. Any other thing would be an idol if we would choose to do it, or to think about it, or to take care of, or whatever. Anything that we put before God is an idol. But we are showing God that he is the one that we worship by being obedient to him. People rest on that day as he did, in acknowledgement of our Creator. We are acknowledging that God is our Creator. Again, it's holy time. It's not the Miller time. It's not any other kind of time. It is holy time. To God, his Sabbath shows him those who believe in keeping his commandments. From those who rely on their, you know, it separates us from those who are relying on their own reasoning. It separates us from them, or determining how they should live or relate to God. We shouldn't make up our own rules on how we should worship God. Going back to the people that, you know, that come to Sabbath services and they say, well, you know, I spent 2 hours there, you know, for the sermonette and the announcements and the special music and then the sermon and the amen, and then I'm out the door, I'm gone. No, that's not really observing the Sabbath as we can see here. But God shows us, you know, there is a difference between how we are respecting and honoring our Father, our God in heaven. You know, and God is the one that set us apart. He proclaims us, you know, by our actions, you know, and our acceptance of him as our supreme authority over how we should live, think, and worship. This is the day of blessing of the little children, which we did. And God looks on us, again, as little children. We are his little children. He wants the best for us. And if anybody gets in the way, he will punish them and punish us as well, too, for allowing it to happen. We know who our Father is, and he wants us to look to him. You know, you and your little children walking down the street, and if something scares the little child, and the little child runs to another man and says, oh, please protect me, make us feel inferior, right? We want our little children to run to us for the protection that they need. And God is the same way with us. He doesn't want us to run to worship anybody else. He wants us to go to him, to have that relationship with him as a child and our parent. How should we treat God's Sabbath in today's world? Well, in Isaiah 58, you don't have to turn there, but in the NIV, you know, it says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day, he says, he emphasizes his, my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, then you will find joy in the Lord. What is joy in the Lord? He wants to pick us up, and he wants to love us. He wants to hold us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us things. He wants to kiss us. He wants to take care of us. We will find joy in the Lord if we keep his Sabbath holy. Things in life will go well with you. You know, that's what he explains to us. And I'm also going to read from the NIV. I copied it down. From the NIV, this is Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, from the New Living Translation on this one. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interest on that day, But enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as your Lord's holy day. Honor the Lord in everything you do. You know, every thought that we have, honor and do. Honor the Lord in everything you do, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Spend every second of the special holy time that God has set apart. Reap from it. Reap all you can of the spiritual food that God will have for you. Again, as you know, as we pray to God, we are having a conversation with Him. And then as we sit down and we read the Scriptures, He's talking back to us. And like I said, you study your Bible, of course, every day of the week, but especially on the Sabbath, the information will jump off the page at you, and you can absorb it. And it says here, if you do this, in verse 14, the Lord will be your delight. Will be your delight. You will be happy. Things will go well with you. I will give you great honor and give you your full share of inheritance, I promised to Jacob, your ancestor. The Lord have spoken. You know, God has wonderful blessings for us if we don't be so hard-headed. If we don't think so much of ourselves, of thinking, you know, I read the book, I saw the movie, I can do it all myself. We can't do that. We can't do that. We have to give God the honor. And as Jesus said, and you've heard me say this over and over again, Jesus made a very clear point. He says, without me you can do nothing. And He really meant that. Nothing. And especially to us that He has called. He is making sure that we know that, because He wants that relationship with us. We can do nothing without Him. As you know, as the one we worship, you know, God wants His people to rest on the Sabbath day. Those of us that He has called, and we do this in acknowledgement of our Creator. That is for sure. We have to keep that in mind. And the Sabbath day observance is specifically mentioned as part of the covenant God will make with all peoples, you know, in the future. You know, there's going to be the first resurrection, of course, you know, when Christ returns and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive will be changed in a twinkling of the eye. You know, that is the first resurrection, you know, to do a special purpose in the millennium with God. But then later on, there's going to be the great white throne judgment. He's talking about all of the people at that time. So the Sabbath observance, you know, God will make it for all peoples then. God's not calling everybody right now. He's only calling a handful out of each generation. We happen to be blessed with that calling. How wonderful and awesome that is, and you know, and staggering that you know when we think of ourselves and our little measly frames. But we know that through the power of God's Holy Spirit, when He changes us into a spirit being to be like Him, we will have that power to do all things with Jesus Christ in the millennium and also in the future, you know, thereforth. And so, but God make the Sabbath available to all peoples, and they will worship Him. There's going to be some hard times coming on, as we know. We're starting to have, I think we're in the beginning of sorrows right now. I actually believe that we are in the fourth seal right now, which pertains to the plagues, you know, with Ebola and these other respiratory diseases and all these things that are coming on. I really honestly believe that we are in the last days, and we need to be thinking of that, because there's going to be a great tribulation coming, a time that was never seen before. And was reading, was in Habakkuk, I believe it is, this morning in the Bible. You know, where if you kind of read between the lines, it's also twofold for today. Talks about those invading our country. I'm speaking of the Muslims. They are invading our country, and they are coming to take it over. And God is going to allow that to happen. Why? Because of the sins of the people. The collective sins of the people. He is going to allow that to happen. Tough times are coming. Tough times are coming. Now, what's going to protect us? How obedient we are to keeping God's laws. And the one we're talking about today is the fourth commandment. The blessings that we can receive, the protection that we can receive from our Father, our God in heaven. We all need that. We all need that. The Sabbath will be an important part of Christ's coming reign on earth. A very important part. It's not going to change. It's not been done away with. It wasn't nailed to the cross. In Mark 2, verse 27, it says, God created the Sabbath for mankind, and there will yet come a time, there will yet come a time when all people will keep God's Sabbath. Yes, they will. They will be taught by us if we remain faithful to God. God's Sabbath and His holy days, they will be taught and they will be commanded to keep those. So we ask ourselves, you know, what is true worship? Our worship to God would therefore mean showing our appreciation of God's worth. How awesome that statement is, to show our appreciation of God's worth. What is God's worth? Well, to us little physical beings right here, God is the one who allows us to have the next breath. Now, how important is that? How much is God worth to that, to us physical human beings? God is allowing. Nothing happens unless God allows it. And again, there's no such thing as a coincidence. And the reason why I say that is because nothing happens unless God allows it. Satan and his demons can do nothing unless God allows it. And He will allow it for a special reason, if it means for correcting us or something like that. We must pay close attention to what God tells us in His Word, which is the Bible. Close attention and obey it. And the Sabbath is highly important to God. He tells us that two times in the same paragraph that we will surely die if we do any work on it or break His Sabbath. That is holy time that He has picked out for us to have to feed us His spiritual food that we desperately need. A lot of us are starving spiritually, and we need to correct that. God makes it clear that He is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's turn to John 4. New Testament, John 4. And in verses 23 and 24, Jesus is speaking and He says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, you know, he's talking about today for us. You know, was written a long time ago for people in their day, and now it's in our day. What is our day? Our day is our lifetime. So all these words are relevant today to us. They were relevant to those people back in those days because God has a set number of days for each of us to live. So it's for us as well as them. He says, you know, the hour is coming when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He is testing. He is trying. He is looking at us. That's why we live in this physical body. It's temporary. This is a lifetime of training. And we speak of lifetime like, oh, it's a long time. No, it's not. It's a blink of the eye. And the way that God looks at time and everything, this is just a blink of the eye. It's a very short time. A little glimpse of life is what God is showing us. You know, it's a time of testing. He said, you know, hey, do you like this life that you're living? You get to love your kids. He made us emotional people. Why? So that we could love. And do you like that life? He's given us a glimpse of it. If so, worship me in spirit and in truth, He is saying. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to be walking in the Spirit as if we are already changed in spirit. We need to be shaking off this life and living as if we have already been changed. That kind of worship God is looking for in us. He wants us to be in His family, in His coming kingdom. So we know that we must be worshiping Him in spirit and truth. God wants us to do what we should be doing. And we do this by honoring God and serving Him and believing Him and obeying His instructions. God asks us to live by every word that proceeds from His mouth. Every word. How important is that? And how straightforward is He about that? He doesn't beat around the bush about it. Every word that proceeds from His mouth. Our worship of God is shown in how we live our daily lives. You know, maybe on the street we can fool people and smile real big and they think, oh, look at old John over there. He's, you know, oh, he's doing so well. He's doing this and he's doing that. And what a nice guy he is. We can't fool God. We can't fool God at all. Each day that we live our lives, we should have a repentive, humble attitude as a little child. Again, like the blessing of the little children, we should have that wide-eyed, open, heartfelt relationship with our Father, our God in heaven, knowing that we couldn't even live without Him. All the blessings that sustains us in this life comes from Him. We need to not have this faraway look in our eye when we talk about God. He is here with us. We are His temple. He lives in us. He lives in us. So what does true worship involve? It involves us having the inward transformation in our heart. What are we learning how to do? We are being transformed. We are in transition. We are learning. God is putting His truth in us. He is teaching us. We got to make the right choices. The right choices to accept it in our hearts, in our minds. By faith, which means, what does faith mean? It means complete trust and belief in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made for us, you know, for us to be able to live. And through His Holy Spirit, our Father, our God in heaven, and His Son, Jesus the Christ, are guiding us and helping us to obey Him. We can't obey God on our own. Can't be done. We are physical. We have these human desires. We have these physical desires of taking care of self first. How should we be thinking? Our brothers and sisters in Christ, of course, first, and our families. And treat everyone as your neighbor, as your brother, as your sister. We are. All the way down from Adam and Eve, we are brothers and sisters, and we should be putting other people ahead of ourselves. That shows God that we want to be servants, just as Jesus Christ came to be a servant, not to be served too. We should have the same attitude to serve other people as well. We have an appointment with God, each of us do. Each of us have an appointment with God. God has given us a certain number of days to live. And we have an appointment with God. We have to be ready. We have to choose to be ready. We have to choose to allow God to make us ready. We have to choose to let Him live in our hearts and our minds. We have to choose to fear being disobedient. We have to fear being without His blessings. We have to learn that we are not much. We are made from the dirt of the ground. We have an appointment with God. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. Touch on that a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Well, just like I was talking a little bit there before, we have to look at each other as brothers and sisters, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to consider one another. We have to think about the problems that each of us are having individually and be able to encourage others and to stir up our love and their love for all of us, that we are one family. We are here to help and to take care of each other. And God looks down on that and sees that. And, you know, we stir up the love and the good works. We have to consider one another to do that. And then verse 25, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When do we assemble? When are we commanded to assemble? On the Sabbath day. And we are to keep it holy from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, as is the manner of some, by exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? The return of Jesus Christ. And to us that will probably die in the flesh, you know, it's just a twinkling of an eye from the time you die until resurrection day. That day when we will see Jesus Christ. It's only a twinkling of the eye, because the dead knows nothing. Ecclesiastes 9:5 tells us that. That day is coming. So we have an appointment with God, each of us do. There's no way out of this life except dying of this flesh, and it goes back to the soil. Goes back to the dirt of the ground. But God has us in a special place, because at the time, the very second that we die, our spirit that came from God goes back to God. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that. At the very second that we die, our spirit goes back to God. And it's not conscious, because in chapter 9, it tells us that the dead knows nothing. Now, that's really a blessing. That's really a blessing. Because a lot of the Sunday-going churches will say, well, you know, old Grandpa so-and-so, he's up here against the wall here, and he's looking at me, and he's talking to me, and he's showing me the way. No, he's not. He's dead. And it's a blessing. How horrible it would be to be, you know, just floating around heaven all day, so to speak, in this realm here, watching other people in the physical form. That would be cruel. But from the time that a person dies, to be resurrected is a twinkling of the eye. Because even if you're dead 1,000 years, it makes no difference. We know that. But we have an appointment, the return of Jesus Christ, and we will all be there to see that. The Sabbath is a test for me and you. As we can see, most of all humans have failed to obey God when it comes to the Sabbath. Why? Because human nature tells them, hey, you're dealing with my time. You're taking away my time to keep this Sabbath. And I could think of 1,000 things I could be doing. I could be out making money. I could be doing this. I could be doing that. My old car needs to be cleaned up. I could be working on that. Most humans ignore God altogether and could care less about setting aside a day to honor or worship Him. And that includes some that already know God's truth. There are some, it's sad to say, that already know God's truth, but they could care less about setting aside a day to honor and to worship Him. It is, you know, God's most ignored commandment. Well, what about me and you? You know, what's our view on God's most ignored commandment? We have to test and analyze ourselves and speak heart to heart to ourselves. Speak heart to heart to yourself. And we know God's instructions and how we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. We know how to do that. We got to make the choice to be able to do it. God has called and opened up our eyes to understand. He knew us before we were born. He knew He was going to choose us out to know His truth, His commandments, and what the Sabbath day is all about. And it's good for us to go back and revisit these lessons that God gave us. It's good for us to go back and revisit those, especially those that, you know, God gave to the Israelites in Exodus 16. You know, and I'll just paraphrase Exodus 16. It's going back to the time when the Israelites, you know, were coming out of Egypt, coming out of sin. And it's the same way for us. They were coming out of Egypt, which represented sin. We are coming out of Egypt and sin right now. Coming out of sin is us coming out of Egypt in the wilderness. Well, to paraphrase a little bit about Exodus 16, you know, it was a miracle that God performed to feed the Israelites. He fed them manna that he sent down from heaven for them to eat. He did, He wasn't going to let them die. He loved them and loves us to take care of us. He's sending us down the manna right now, the spiritual food that we should be gathering and eating here. We won't turn there. Again, like I said, I'll just paraphrase it, but unlike the other days, the Israelites, you know, the people were not to go out and gather the manna on the Sabbath day. We are to eat what God has given us, that has prepared for us on the Sabbath. It is the spiritual food that He is providing for us. As, you know, there would be none to gather on the Sabbath, but rather, they were supposed to gather double on the day before, on Friday, to prepare for the Sabbath. Why? Again, it's holy time. The Sabbath is holy time that God has set apart. And we are to gather the manna on Friday, and we are to eat it and enjoy it that He has given us on the Sabbath day. And He will expand that spiritual food, expand it greatly to us. Let's pay close attention to God's intent. In Exodus 16, verse 4, you know, God said that I may test. Just as He tested the Israelites back then with the manna, He's testing us today. And he says, God said that I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not. The Sabbath day is a test. It's also a sign. A sign that we belong to Him and a sign that we have chosen to obey Him. But it is a test. God wants to look on our hearts. He wants to see if we will obey Him before He turns us into a spirit being that will live forever. We are being tested these short days of this physical life that we are living. God wants us to live forever in His coming kingdom, but He has to be sure that He can trust us enough to be changed. Again, the Sabbath was a test commandment for the people back then, the Israelites, and it's a test commandment for us today. While the Ten Commandments are thought of as right and proper, keeping the Sabbath often brings ridicule from our worldly neighbors, our bosses, our friends, and our family members that are not called and don't understand, and some mates. There are some situations where husbands and wives, you know, are not called together. You know, so there is ridicule there. But, you know, we have to realize that God has called us, and we are to keep this commandment. It is a test. It is a time for us to eat the spiritual food that God has given us, and He wants us to be prepared to be in His coming kingdom. So, in closing, God set aside the Sabbath to feed us His spiritual food of life, and all of us want to live. You can ask, you know, somebody upside down in a well that is an atheist, and they will turn from being an atheist real quick if they think they're going to be dropping down in this well head first. You know, God wants us to live, and we want to live. And let's remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. God wants to feed us, and He loves us and take care of us.